Good morning. You can open up your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We're going to be looking at the beginning of the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. This morning we are continuing our series as we prepare for Election Day. We've been thinking about and looking at what the Bible has to say to us as Americans, where Scripture confirms the good things that are part of our culture and part of our heritage as Americans, and also where Scripture criticizes and rebukes parts of what it means to be an American, things that as Christians we have to leave behind when we follow the Lord. So this morning we are going to be thinking about really what is at the bottom of being a Christian, which is to believe the gospel, to believe the Christian gospel, and how that is in contrast with the American dream. Okay? So if you pay close attention to God's word, Galatians chapter 1, we'll read verses 6 to 10. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for your word, and we are thankful for your gospel, and we pray for your spirit to enlighten our minds. Help us to see clearly. You have drawn in your word, you have drawn bright and clear lines. You have drawn for us in sharp colors and in strong contrast. And you have said that not one dot, not one stroke of a pen will pass away from your word until all has been accomplished. And so we pray, Lord, that this morning we would grow in our knowledge of you. We would grow in our knowledge of ourselves, that we would be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And this is really an exercise in contrast this morning. We are looking at a strong contrast between what is very American and, on the other hand, what is Christian. What is Christian? And this is important for us. We're going to delve into false teaching this morning. This is important for us because no matter who you are, whether you're a Christian or not, you are always going to be offering to people something. You're going to be offering to people some way of life, some view of the world, You're going to be offering them, as people like to say, your truth. But we want to make sure as Christians that what we offer to people is not just our truth. We want to make sure that what we're offering to people and what we are satisfying ourselves with, that it's actually the truth. And so we have to think about, what is our gospel? What is the gospel that we announce to other people? The gospel, of course, is good news. It's something that you tell other people. It's something that you believe. Now, I think the American dream, if there is a scripture that the American dream is based on, it would be based on this scripture: God helps those who help themselves. Which, of course, is not in the Bible. We, as Americans, have fallen in love with the gospel that we can help ourselves. Sometimes this is a gospel of hard work. We can help ourselves through hard work. Sometimes it is a gospel of positive thinking, that if we just think the right thoughts, we can help ourselves. And we need to be very, very careful about what we are holding out to people. We need to be very, very careful about what we are holding on to. When we are offering to people, this is the life. This is what you can be. This is what you can become. The American dream is a dream of success. It's a dream of success. Again, for some this is success through hard work. Many of you know the stories that we share about the American dream of success through hard work. You know the bootstrap stories. It always starts with an immigrant, or the son of a sharecropper, or the daughter of a ridge runner, someone who was born into absolute poverty and oppression. But you know the story. Through education, through diligence, through an unbending spirit, they get competence and they are able to get respect for themselves. They're able to get wealth for themselves. They're able to get a position of authority, a position of influence. And where they and their family started out unknown, poor, no power, they are able to become known, powerful, successful, wealthy. This is American glory. You may also be familiar with success through positive thinking. This is a more recent development, I think, in American history. And you know that story too. It's one that you're familiar with, because if you have lived in this country for any period of time, or if you have, even if you haven't lived in this country, but you've listened to the messages that get broadcast from this country to the whole world, then you know this story. Once I was stuck. I was stuck in a dead-end job. I was stuck in a miserable family, in a miserable marriage. I was stuck in addiction. I was stuck in a rut. And I was thinking all sorts of negative thoughts. But then I changed my way of thinking, and I began to think positive thoughts. I began to be optimistic, and everything changed for me. I got a better job. I got a better spouse. I got a better house. And now I don't have to worry about money, and I don't have to worry about health, and I don't have to worry about my family anymore because my mentality has changed. This is the gospel that is preached by false teachers in our country and around the world. This is the gospel of Norman Vincent Peale. And at bottom, whether you take the gospel of hard work or the gospel of positive thinking, Americans worship success. That is what we want. We worship success. We worship winning. And in the church, I think we don't realize how much our love of success permeates everything. Now, of course, we can look at other churches and say, they worship success. But I think it permeates every church in America. I think this is one of those lies that is so ingrained in us. The one question we ask is, does it work? In his book, What I Saw in America, G.K. Chesterton writes that the dollar is an idol because it is an image, but it is an image of success and not of enjoyment. It's an image of success and not just pleasure, not just wealth. For Americans, being healthy is not enough. Our health has to be a kind of success, a kind of victory, something that is won through great struggle. I used to be weak, but now I lift weights and I'm strong. I used to be overweight, but now I've overcome that. I've lost so much weight. We talk about sickness in this way. Sickness is something that we fight and that we beat. We fight COVID. We even fight colds. Having wealth is not enough. Our wealth has to be a sign of success. We don't really respect people just because they're wealthy. We respect people because they've made it. Now, if you've inherited a lot of money from your father, we don't respect you for that. Americans don't respect inherited wealth. We admire and envy people who have won it, who have beaten the odds, who have gotten it for themselves. This is what gives the talk about privilege and checking your privilege its teeth in American culture. It strikes us as so un-American to talk about privilege. This is why it's offensive to us. That's not yours. You didn't get that for yourself. That was given to you. You didn't accomplish that. That's not your success. Even with the power of positive thinking, you know, it's not the positive thinking that Americans find attractive. It's the power of positive thinking that we find attractive. That's what we find appealing. It's a power that we believe can be our power if we would just change how we think. This is not the Christian gospel. The Christian gospel is not a message that you can have success. The message of the Christian gospel is that you can have Christ. And we know this, that the good news is that we can have Christ. We begin, first of all, with the priority that we find in Scripture. And that priority is that God comes first, and everything else comes after. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You cannot serve God and money." The Gentiles seek after all these things: food, clothing, wealth, health. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. No, instead, seek first His kingdom. Seek first His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you want to win with God, you have to just stop chasing the American dream. You have to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Is there anything in Scripture that goes more against our American identity than Jesus' command to deny yourself? You know, even our president's spiritual advisor, Paula White, do you know what she says about denying yourself? She said, "Anyone who tells you to deny yourself is from Satan." Like Jesus? Maybe that's why she thinks Psalm 2 is about Donald Trump. And she does. But if you want the truth, the gospel begins with the recognition that God comes first. He comes before your health. He comes before your prosperity. He comes before your family. He comes before your reputation. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine named Philippe. Philippe brought his family to America. They wanted to escape poverty. They wanted to escape the high crime and the political corruption in their home country of Brazil. And they moved to Rhode Island. And they live just a few blocks from our church in Rhode Island. And they're believers, and they wanted to find a good church, and they came to our church and they joined our church in Rhode Island. But after some time of living in America, Philippe and his wife were confronted with a difficult choice. They were confronted with a difficult choice, and they had to make this decision. They couldn't avoid this decision. It was a decision between staying in America, staying in the church that they loved, staying with their friends, staying with the good work that he had found, but staying on terms that would compromise his Christian witness. Staying on terms that would require him and his family to tell lies every day. Or they could go home. They could go back to Brazil. They could go back to the muggings. They could go back to the political corruption, to the high murder rate, to the currency that isn't worth very much. They could go back to a town that didn't have a good church and maintain a faithful witness as Christians. That was the choice. America, ease, prosperity, a good church, but a bad witness as Christians, or a good witness and giving up all of these things. Well, in the face of protests from their friends, in the face of their family back home telling them that they were crazy, they went home. They went back to Brazil. They left their friends in America. They left their church that they loved. They left the promise and dream of a stable and prosperous life in America. And they chose to trust God in weakness and in self-denial rather than claim a life of wealth and stability that was built on selective obedience to Jesus Christ. They chose to seek first God's kingdom in a part of their life, just one little part of their life, that cost them very dearly. Does that surprise you? Does that surprise you that a Christian would do that? God comes first. Are you putting God first in your life? Or maybe a better way of putting it, a way that we all have to ask ourselves, is not are we putting God first in our lives, but where are we failing to put God first in our lives? Most of you aren't going to be put in a situation where you have to pack up your family and move to Brazil in order to maintain your Christian witness. It seems to us sometimes that the choices that we face as believers are small on a day-to-day basis. But they are still real choices. Choices between Christ and some other kind of life. How do you spend the Lord's day? How do you treat your parents? How do you treat your spouse? Are you honest in all of your dealings in work or in school? Are you seeking purity in all of your relationships? And that, of course, brings us to why we need the gospel of Jesus Christ in the first place. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. He didn't come to save poor people from being poor, sad people from being sad. He didn't come to save people with negative thoughts from having negative thoughts. He came to save sinners. You are a sinner. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the depth of your sin? That your sin is not just, It's not against yourself. It's not against your family. It's not against the people you want to be your friends. It is against God. And if you're listening to the Bible, God is going to show you the depth of your sin. That is how you will start in the Christian life, is by recognizing your sin against God. Not gently sliding over it, not making light of it, not excusing it because everyone around you is the same or is worse than you. But as Christians, we begin the Christian life and we keep on walking in the Christian life by growing in our horror at what is inside of us. At the ugliness and awfulness of our sin. To be horrified when you see not just what it does to you, and sin does destroy you, but to be horrified at how it is opposed to God. It is opposed to God's goodness and His love and His righteousness and His justice and His holiness. Is that what fills your mind when you think about your problems? This is your big problem. Now, you may have money problems, or marriage problems, or kid problems, or parent problems, or work problems, or school problems, or boyfriend problems, or girlfriend problems, but you know, your problem is that you are a sinner. And it doesn't matter what kind of sin you particularly like. Jesus says murder and insults both will get you to hell. Adultery and those little looks both will get you to hell. Now, thinking negative thoughts about yourself, that's not so bad when you compare that with God thinking negative thoughts about you. But the gospel is that Jesus Christ saves sinners. Jesus Christ, who is God the Son in the flesh. And the point of the gospel is that only God can save you. Only God can save you. You see here how backwards that is from the American dream. The American dream tells you that you are your greatest asset. That if you only realized your potential, if you only looked deep inside you to see the inner strength that you have, if only you could get ahead through hard work, if only you could change your circumstances by changing the way you think about yourself and your life. But the gospel says, no matter how hard you work, you're never going to dig yourself out of a hole. And no matter how much you change your thinking, you're not going to imagine yourself out of self-delusion. Jesus saves because He died on the cross for sinners. He didn't die so that people would like Him more. He didn't die so that the polls would reflect favorably on Him. He didn't die to convince you of His devotion to you. He died because God hates sin. He died because there is an angry God in heaven. And He's not just an angry God, He is a good God. And every day he looks down on the wickedness and the evil that fills this world, and he is angry. And you are part of that. You are part of this wicked world. People who lie, people who hate, people who are sexually immoral, people who are profane. Jesus doesn't save you by teaching you to work harder. The Nazis promised that, and that was over the sign over the gate into their concentration camps. Work makes free. And he doesn't save by teaching you to stop thinking negative thoughts about yourself. He saves you because he lives a righteous life. Because he is not a sinner. And because he died on the cross to take the punishment that you deserve. We need to be really clear about that. That is the gospel. With Jesus, when you come to him and when you believe in him, your sin, which is your problem, can be forgiven. When you come to Jesus, when you believe in him, your sin can be put to death. With Jesus, you can have peace with God. If you want to know why you don't have peace with yourself, because you don't have peace with God. And if you get peace with yourself and you still don't have peace with God, then you are in a worse place. Paul says in Philippians 3 that the point of the gospel is that I may know him. This is the goal. The goal is that we would know Christ. Putting God first, in other words, is not just a strategy where you put God first so that you can get all the stuff that you're putting second. Putting God first means that we put him first, even if it means there's nothing left in second place. That we are seeking him. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for you to seek Christ, to have him? You know, life is so full of events, so full of issues, comings and goings. But you are made to know God. You are made to enjoy him, to glorify him. John Owen writes that one of the keys to growing in grace is to realize just how little you know God. Just how little you know him. In the face of all of our busyness, the conflict, the mess, the clamor, the hue, the cry, everything that's going on in your life, all those urgent things that are trying to get your attention, what does God say to you? Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. What a noisy world. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. I know that the world is noisy. And that your life is noisy. I know that you have trouble, that you have anxiety, I know that there is conflict and there is danger. But as you look back over this past week, were there even 5 minutes where you made it your purpose to know God better? We can even fill our time with Christian stuff. Going to church, talking with people from church, getting ready for things at church. But have you made it your purpose this week to know God better? The good news, the Christian gospel, is that by believing in Jesus Christ, you can know God. No one has ever seen God, John writes. The only God from the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. And being conformed to his death so that I may attain the resurrection, we want to know Christ. We want to know God. And that means that in this life, we will be conformed to his death. And this is where we really begin to feel the sharp difference between the American dream and the Christian gospel. The American dream is so laser focused on success, on wealth, on influence, on health, on ease, on prosperity, and on power in this life. But following Christ means being transformed into the image of Christ, being conformed to his death. And that's why Paul says, am I trying to please man? This is not a message that naturally pleases man. This is not a message that you can preach on the campaign trail and get lots of people to like you. This is not a message that will sell stuff. This is not a message that will get lots of clicks and likes. That I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. And be conformed to his death. The gospel holds out to us the cross. That's what it offers to us. Now the end result of all this is not just death and loss. The end result is resurrection. So that I may be conformed to his death, so that I may attain to the resurrection. I want to be conformed to his death, so that I may attain the resurrection of the dead. The American dream does offer you things. It offers you wealth that can be lost in the next recession. It offers you health that you will lose when you get older. It offers you power that will last until the next administration gets voted in, or until there's a new revolution in business and technology. It offers you prestige until the fashion changes. It offers you respect until you too are numbered with all of the sinners of history and they tear your statue down too. But the gospel offers you persecutions in this life and an unfading crown in the next life. And the next life does not end like this life does. Paul says there are many enemies of the cross of Christ. And I've said this before. There are plenty of people who love the throne of Christ, and they love his power, and they love his glory, and they love his miracles. but they are enemies of his cross. Paul says, these people, their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is actually their shame. And their minds are set on earthly things. And so Paul says to the Galatians, this is why he says it. If anyone evangelizes you with a different gospel, let him be accursed. If any preacher preaches a different gospel, a gospel that says God's holiness, God's glory, God's justice doesn't come first, your happiness, your desires, your comfort, your destiny, they come first, and God exists to give you those things. Any preacher who preaches that, let him be accursed. Any preacher who tells you that you most of all need peace with yourself, that you most of all need to learn how you can have your best life now, this is not the Christian gospel. Anyone who says positive thinking works wonders, he is not talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone who says God helps those who help themselves, he is offering a different spirit, a different gospel. And these false teachers have only so much time to repent of telling lies. And if not, they will be accursed. They will be thrown into the lake of fire. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how successful they are or what position they hold in this life. It doesn't matter if they are an angel from God. They will be accursed. Judas certainly believed in a gospel of wealth. And Satan certainly believes in a gospel of positive thinking. And the danger, the very great danger, is not just that there are people out there teaching this garbage, but that there are people who are deceived by it and who trust in it and who believe it. The false gospel of the American dream, the false gospel of the prosperity gospel, the false gospel of health and wealth, and people who trust in this and die in their sins. We are sinners, and there is only one way to be saved. And so, friends, you need to consider what gospel you have been believing, what gospel you have been sharing. I know that you've been believing one. I know that you've been sharing one. Listen to the words of the true and faithful witness. Because you say, I am rich, and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy gold from me refined by fire. So that you may become rich. And white garments. So that you may clothe yourself. So that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Is that enough? Is that enough for you? Do you need money? Do you need victory over your sickness? Do you need the family, the nice, peaceful family life that you want? Do you need a country that gives you what you want? Or is Jesus Christ enough for you? Is the triune God enough for you? We face a decision between two ways. A wide way, an easy way, a way that leads to destruction. And many find it. And there is a narrow way, a hard way that leads to life. And there are few that find it. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to you as sinners, and we come to you because with you there is life. With you there is good news. This is not the good news that we would make up. And this is not the good news that many people have made up. But it is true, and it is good. And so, Lord, it is our prayer. It is our prayer that we would not be disqualified from this gospel. It is our prayer that we would hold on to this gospel to the very end. And it is our prayer that we would be bold to share this gospel with others. It is our prayer that many of those who have trusted and even preached a false gospel would be brought to repentance. It is our prayer that you would help us to be persuasive, to turn back many who have believed the false gospel that has so filled America. And we confess that you alone can save. Salvation belongs to you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.